Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com. We are here on a Friday, and it is now April as we have entered the month of the 2021 NFL draft, about 4 weeks away from hearing the next selections, seeing what all the teams' plans are to try to either, rebuild their team or take it further to the next level with hopes of winning another championship. So it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked here on the podcast. Just a lot of stuff going on the last couple of weeks that I've been working on and just trying to get all my thoughts gathered, of course, with what we've seen on the last couple few weeks since free agency opened, the new league year began. There's a lot of NFL news out there, of course, we can touch on a little bit later on in this podcast episode, of course, with some major trades going down, shaking up the top of the 2021 NFL draft order. We have some news regarding possibly the future, maybe not just this season, but down the line of what the NFL schedule could look like and the decision the NFL made there to the regular season schedule earlier this week. But starting off with the Chiefs, since we last talked, really the only two major moves that the team had made was signing offensive lineman Joe Tooney and Kyle Long. And, of course, there was some other kind of minor transactions the team made as far as, extending a restricted free agent tender to guys like Andrew Wiley or Nick Kaiser. Guys like that, they placed a second-round tender on restricted free agent Charvarius Ward. And since then, we've seen some guys re-sign to the team. So it's kind of funny seeing, you know, how last year Kansas City was able to retain a lot of their guys from the team that won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Well, that's kind of remained the same for guys that, you know, we maybe necessarily didn't expect to come back. But again, with the COVID-affected season and now into this offseason that we've had, it's allowed, you know, teams to, bring guys back for pretty cheap deals. And that's kind of what the Chiefs have been able to do, you know, with other teams filling their roster spots and not really having the ability, if there was much interest, to kind of get as much of a chance to visit and go after some of these names like maybe they would have hoped to have done in a normal off season. So some major names that have been brought back for the Chiefs. You have safety Daniel Sorensen. He's kind of a guy that really, I think if you ask Chiefs fans, I think you either love him or hate him. But this is a guy, I think a couple of years ago, I really wondered if he was going to make it the team. But yeah, what a blessing in disguise it was. And it wasn't just for him. I mean, it was a great thing for the entire team and a lot of players that are on the defense still. But he was a guy that really benefited from the Steve Spagnuolo hire a couple of years ago as defensive coordinator. When Bob Sutton was the defensive coordinator, I think Sorensen was placed in a very difficult positions where there wasn't a lot of opportunity for success, whether that be at the safety position or up near the line of scrimmage, trying to battle with, you know, guys that just are way more physical than him, guys that just could snuff out his technique fairly easily. You talk about just all those years where when Bob Sutton was the defensive coordinator, going up against Rob Gronkowski when he was with the Patriots or other tight ends that are just so difficult to cover. I think now you look at what Daniel Sorensen has been used as with Spagnuolo as the DC, kind of in this buck linebacker role, still kind of a safety type at times, but really more of just a linebacker that can play in space, use his instincts to his advantage. I think you've really seen the last couple of seasons how good of a player that Sorensen can be. So props to him on, you know, really the improvements he's made the last couple of years. A guy that I think, you know, has been described as really a film junkie more than you would expect. And obviously, you know, all NFL players surely are, for a fair amount of time, film junkies. But yeah, Sorensen's kind of that guy that these last couple of years, especially with the addition of Tyrann Mathieu on the back end, he has really been, honing in on those crafts and doing those little things just at the right time in crucial moments. You go back to his play, obviously, in the playoffs the last couple of years, both years really have just been Standing out in crucial moments. You look at a big hit he had forcing a fumble this past year in the playoffs against the Cleveland Browns. Rashard Higgins fumbles the ball, trying to, reach out for a touchdown at the goal line. It goes through the end zone for a touchback, and the Chiefs, of course, would take over after that. And then you have the fact that, stopping that fake punt and snuffing that out that the Houston Texans tried to run, in that wild card game. And that was really the play that, out of all of them, that really sparked the Chiefs' amazing comeback a couple of years ago and ignited their run to the Super Bowl. So Daniel Sorensen, I'm happy to see him back. He's really, I think, earned that role on the defense. So one more year for him at least with the Chiefs, the former undrafted free agent to come out of BYU. Then you have DeMarcus Robinson, and really this has been two straight years that we kind of thought teams might have interest in him. I think the year before going into 2020, it was kind of reported that the Eagles and the Giants were interested. Those teams went out and, filled some roles that, kind of took that opportunity away this year if there was still some interest. The Giants, of course, going with the big name signing in Kenny Golladay, the former Detroit Lions wide receiver, and then they added some other, cheaper guys like John Ross, former Cincinnati Bengals first-round pick in 2017. So the Giants filled some holes at the receiver position, and I think it just made a lot of sense, honestly, for Kansas City, seeing that they were kind of missing out on some of those top-name free agent wide receivers. You saw, obviously, the report of them being in on Juju Smith-Schuster, apparently offered him a little more money, a one-year $8 million deal, but could have been $3 million more in incentives, and Juju chose to go back to Pittsburgh. So you miss out on a guy like that. Other free agent wide receivers signing elsewhere as well that I think would have been fits for them. It made a lot of sense given what had happened so far early in free agency. I think the Chiefs had to bring him back, and I think if you go out and add at least one more receiver in the draft, I think you'll be okay, to be honest with you, at the wide receiver position. I mean, I think the wide receiver two spot is still a clear hole on the depth chart, but knowing how deep the receiver classes have been lately in the draft, and I think this is another one in 2021, I think the Chiefs will be just fine. Robinson's not always going to be able to handle a big workload, but when he's gotten those chances, he's cashed in. I think you look back at that Raiders game in Oakland a couple of years ago in 2019, that was a big game for him, a career best game. And then really, even though it was still minimal production compared to what we, view receivers as in the big scheme of things, he set career highs last year again in receptions, receiving yards. So DeMarcus Robinson, he's also gotten a lot of percentage of the snaps. I think he had more percent of snaps last year than Mecole Hardman did overall. So I think you look at what you get in the past with Robinson and seeing the improvements he's made the last couple of years as a route runner and a pass catcher, those opportunities of increased playing time have certainly been warranted and well-deserved. I do think the Chiefs still need to make one more big addition at wide receiver, but overall, I think they have to be happy with bringing Robinson back, considering, of course, you were not able to bring in another guy. And just kind of staying on the topic of wide receivers real quick, since we last talked, Sammy Watkins signed with the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year deal, $6 million. It's a tough thing because I think if you were following just on Twitter that day that Sammy signed with the Ravens, a lot of people, Chiefs fans, were just kind of saying how much they like Sammy. But the tough thing is, obviously, injuries really started to mount. He did take a restructured deal for last year and still missed some time, unfortunately. Was not really able to make an impact in the playoffs. He did play in the Super Bowl, but just was not able to play the amount of snaps we're used to seeing, dealing with a calf injury. So he's just a guy, one of those guys that just unfortunately cannot stay healthy. But I know Chiefs and Ravens have become kind of a big rivalry the last couple of years, but I have no ill will towards Sammy. I think he's always going to be remembered, as a for Chiefs fans, a special place in their hearts and history, just with what he did during that Super Bowl winning season. Even though the production was maybe not consistent throughout the regular season, man, his playoff performances were just unbelievable. You look at just, you know, even his first year with the team when they did not get to the Super Bowl, they lost that AFC Championship game to the Patriots. He had a big game against the Colts in the divisional round. And then even, yeah, that Patriot loss in the AFC Championship game, he had a couple of big catches there that really sparked the offense and got him going after not scoring in the first half, being a little bit shell-shocked by the Patriots' man coverage. It was Sammy Watkins who got it going, and that AFC Championship game the following year against the Titans, I think that was probably, if not the best game, one of the best games he had with the Chiefs. So tough to see him go to Baltimore, but I think it was just kind of the thing that, you know, still stands out. It was certainly, I think, just the right time for the team and him to part ways. I think, again, he'll always hold a special place in, you know, the players' hearts, the coaches and the fans in Kansas City. But unfortunately, I think it was just the right time for the team to move on. So wide receiver, I think you're looking at least one big addition. I think they, you know, I'm kind of high personally on Byron Pringle and seeing what he can do this next season. I know Mecole Hardman, not quite the season everybody envisioned last year, but I think what you got to remember is Andy Reid's offense at the wide receiver position, very intricate, and not a lot of people can learn it rapidly. So I know he's kind of still been relegated to the guy that is receiving, you know, manufactured touches, but overall, I still think Mecole Hardman can improve, and hopefully we'll see that more this season. But yeah, overall, the Chiefs, I like the re-signing of both Robinson and Sorensen, but yeah, the receiver position, you're still, I think, looking at them making one big add there. We'll see what happens in the 2021 NFL draft. But just some other news to kind of recap for you guys here. The team also made some other re-signings, bringing back offensive tackle Mike Remmers. And I know people, especially, you know, just more casual NFL fans outside of the Chiefs fans, basically, will wonder why the team brought him back after that Super Bowl performance. But if you watch the Chiefs last year, Remmers was actually really, really good, all things considered, at right tackle. To go out and replace a guy like Mitchell Schwartz, who had been so dependable for so long for this team, I thought Remmers actually did pretty well. But yeah, left tackle's completely different story, and Tampa Bay was just so hot in the Super Bowl, so many pieces that they had to work with in their pass rush. I think if you go with what the Chiefs are kind of saying, and it being a competition at right tackle between Mike Remmers and Lucas Niang, I think that's an okay plan at right tackle. And this is really the first time, you know, in a handful of years that the Chiefs have had any holes at offensive tackle. They've been set on both bookends for so long with Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz that, you know, I think that's what's been so difficult for Chiefs fans, and not necessarily landing big name free agents, but, you know, making the additions they have at offensive tackle or the re-signings. It's not necessarily anything that's going to move the needle, but I think it's good depth. It's good competition, just what this offensive line needs right now. So I'm completely fine with Mike Remmers coming back. Another guy that they brought back, not from last year's team, but from the Super Bowl winning team 2 years ago, tight end Blake Bell. He was with the team in 2019, really didn't have a lot of production necessarily as a pass catcher. He was used more as a run blocker. His actually biggest moments as a pass catcher came in the wild card round win a couple of years ago against the Texans, and that comeback victory. He had a touchdown in that game. I think it was the last one the Chiefs scored in their route to 51 points. So he went to Dallas last year, was with the Cowboys, not really any different from his time with the Chiefs, more as a blocker, not necessarily a lot of production as a receiver. But the team has brought Blake Bell back. And being from Wichita, Kansas, of course, having, you know, family ties in the past with, you know, his dad, and I think it was his uncle, played with the team back in the day. You know, I think that was something that made a lot of sense for Blake Bell and want to come back. And of course, you know, the team has been hinting at wanting to add maybe some depth behind Travis Kelce. So Blake Bell, you know, if he can do what he did In 2019, I think the Chiefs will be just fine. I don't have any problems really with Blake Bell coming back. You know, you'd like to see maybe a little more production from the pass catching standpoint for him. But I mean, I think you look at what he's been in his career. You know, he's kind of been steady and really has maxed out his ceiling year in and year out. But yeah, some other couple of moves we're going to hit on here, some outside additions that the team has made. We're going to stick with the offensive line real quick. And this was the latest one from a couple of days ago. Former Rams center slash guard Austin Blythe signed a 1-year deal. Very cheap deal here. A former undrafted free agent from Iowa, started his career with the Colts and then spent the last few years with the Rams. I believe he started all 16 games last season as the team center in LA, started 31 games the 2 years prior at guard. So it's got some positional versatility, but I think this is a clear addition that the Chiefs are wanting to have at the center position. Again, trying to create competition. I think overall, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Austin Blythe starts some games at center next year, but I think this is not going to obviously hinder them from adding a guy in the draft, hopefully, that can play center. Because you look at the deals that the Chiefs have made, Kyle Long and Austin Blythe, and of course, Mike Remmers coming back. Besides Joe Tooney, the additions they've made to the offensive line have all been 1-year deals. So right now, it's all about getting the depth insured, you know, knowing that they'll have people to rely on basically at all the spots right now for the most part. And yeah, hoping they can get those younger guys into the building, hopefully in the draft, make some new additions there. So I think their biggest thing is creating competition, really letting these guys work for their spots. If Austin Blythe can win that center job, depending on whoever he's going up against, I would not, you know, I don't think the Chiefs would really be in as bad a shape as they were last year. To me, you know, Blythe doesn't necessarily move the needle in, as far as improving the offensive line as a whole. But I think if you match him up against Austin Ryder, he's got a little bit better movement skills. I think he handles, you know, more physical defensive linemen a little better. Just what I've watched on him from his time with the Rams the last couple of years, what I was able to watch on his tape. I think that personally, Austin Blythe is a better center than Austin Ryder was. And Ryder did okay. I mean, considering, you know, the expectations for him the last couple of years. But yeah, I think it is just that spot is so significant for every team. You know, getting that center and quarterback relationship as stout as you can. So Austin Blythe, not a bad outside addition. But like we said, I don't think it's going to prevent them from looking to add to that spot in the draft. And then you look at kind of a more significant signing from earlier this week, and that is defensive tackle Jaron Reed, former Seattle Seahawks second round pick in 2016, joins the team. So a little bit of a weird situation here, and I was kind of listening to this a little more, I believe it was yesterday on NFL Network, and they were just kind of talking that of course, he got the 2-year extension going into last season with Seattle. But of course, with the salary cap reduction and every, you know, improvement that Seattle's been hoping to make with their roster, you know, they kind of asked Jaron Reed to take a restructure. That didn't really obviously come to pass. No agreement was made there. And I think Reed honestly felt a little disrespected by the Seahawks. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, has been pretty reliable for them year in and year out. He did miss 6 games 1 year due to a suspension, but overall a guy that the production has been very steady from defensive tackle. That's not a lot. That's not a spot that a lot of teams see consistent production from, of course. And then you just look at what you know, Seattle's options were and what they could have done. They end up signing Tyler Lockett to an extension later on this week. So I think Jaron Reed just looked at, you know, other guys getting paid, even though he was kind of paid handsomely already. He maybe left some money on the table. You know, he chose to come to Kansas City, and I think Frank Clark being with the Chiefs was a big part of the Chiefs landing him and getting his services. Nate Taylor of The Athletic kind of wrote that the Chiefs beat out 7 other teams to land Jaron Reed. So This is a really, really good deal for the team. Did not cost them that much. 1 year, $7 million, worth $5 million guaranteed. And this is a guy that just watching him on tape and watching everything he did in Seattle, there's so many ways that I think he's going to help the team defensively. For one thing, I think it's going to free up Chris Jones and Frank Clark a little more just because they've seen so much double teams, especially Chris Jones, the last couple of years that, you know, it's been difficult for the Chiefs to really create consistent pressure on the quarterback week in and week out. They've been okay rushing the passer, but you'd like to see that, pressure get home more often. And I think Jaron Reed's going to obviously help Chris Jones. And honestly, that's a defensive tackle tandem that could be one of the best in the league this season. Looking at, you know, just how big of an addition that could be for the defensive line, especially when you consider the hole that they have at the defensive end position opposite Frank Clark, and Clark himself in kind of a make or break season in terms of production meeting the contract that he has. I love this move a lot. Probably been my, honestly, second favorite move so far, behind Joe Tooney. I mean, I like the Kyle Vaughn move, but that has a lot more, I think, risk involved with it than the other two. Jaron Reed, it's a signing that, if everything goes well for him this year in Kansas City, he can certainly get the money he thinks he deserves, back on the open market next year. And I think, like we said, this is just going to open up so many more one-on-one opportunities for Chris Jones, especially, and even Frank Clark. And the thing is with Reed and Clark, when they were together with the Seahawks in 2018, that was both each of their best career seasons. They combined for 23 and a half sacks that year just by themselves. So, nothing is guaranteed, but I think that's obviously a good sign for Frank Clark himself, maybe having that running mate besides Chris Jones next to him. And this is a guy that I think is going to allow defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo to run more multiple looks. I mean, he's already run a lot of creative looks in his career overall and throughout his time so far in Kansas City, but that's going to allow him, I think, to play and mix and match a lot more often than he already does. So to me, this has been a big addition for the defense. Again, you still have to add, I think, to the other defensive end position clearly, but man, this is big for the pass rush, especially a guy that very technically sound, has good length, awareness, and honestly, his speed when rushing the passer. If you look at his tape or his highlights from Seattle, it's unbelievable to see the closing speed that he had when collapsing the pocket from the interior. So Jaron Reed, adding him, that is a certainly a big addition. So we're going to take a turn now and kind of go away from the moves and free agency additions that the Chiefs have made and talk about some of the NFL headlines. So we talked about the NFL adding to the regular season schedule earlier. It was announced that there will be a 17th regular season game. And basically, I think right now it's expected that there will still be one bye week. So a lot of people want to see two bye weeks. Nothing set in stone, I guess. But the speculation right now is that it will be 18-week regular season now and 17 regular season games, one bye week. This reduces the preseason games from 4 to 3, so only one preseason game goes away, which, of course, we did not have that last year due to the pandemic and everything going on in the summer before the regular season got going. But, yeah, it's really interesting because what does this mean for the NFL as far as, the salary cap going back up? You know, something we've talked about on this show a little bit is the expected TV deals that the NFL is expected to land coming up soon. This is going to be a big part of that because with this, one extra game, every team having one extra game, you look at the revenue just that one extra week that the NFL is hoping to gain from this. And of course, another thing the NFL kind of hinted at is that I think it's throughout a 8-year span, teams are expected to play international games, whether that be London or Mexico. The NFL's hinted at even expanding and playing games into Germany very soon because of the fan base that they have there overseas. I believe teams are going to have to play two games internationally. And the thing is with this is that another thing that's pretty interesting too is just now the opponents that are going to be in place with this extra regular season game. Like this year, the Chiefs will now play the Green Bay Packers for that 17th game. And that's pretty significant because, you know, just talking quarterback matchups, Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers, a couple of years ago, 2019, when Green Bay came to Arrowhead, we did not get that because it was a couple of weeks after Patrick Mahomes' freak knee injury that he suffered in Denver. So it was Matt Moore versus Aaron Rodgers. Still a pretty good game and tightly contested. But, yeah, it'll be fun to see two guys that have been compared to each other at different times throughout their careers, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in this – or sorry, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in the State Farm Bowl. That'll be fun to see this year. Hopefully, we get to see those guys do battle. Because honestly, 2019, when that happened and the injury happened, you know, we wondered if we'd ever get to see them square off because of just, you know, Rodgers. You never know how much longer he's going to play. And of course, you know, the normal rotation of the schedules, you know, you wouldn't play the Packers again until 2023. So it was kind of devastating really not to see that matchup back in 2019, but hopefully we will get to see that quarterback matchup, and that will again be at Arrowhead. I was kind of surprised just because of the opponent. I thought since they played in Arrowhead recently, they played Green Bay this time, but I guess it makes sense with the overall rotation of the schedules that they would do that, you know, 4 years from their meeting in 2019. So it made sense. And I think what's interesting, some people have thrown out the idea, you know, what is this going to mean for the future of the NFL, going to expand to 18 regular season games, you know, in the next decade or two, or sorry, in their, you know, next 10 to 15 years. Are they going to add more teams to the league? I mean, they already got 32, and I don't know. I think that one is a little more surprising to me. I would be more shocked at that. I could definitely see the 18 regular season game scenario, but right now I just don't envision the NFL adding more teams. I could certainly be wrong on that when, you know, things, you know, go and turn the calendar to 2030 or beyond. But right now, I do think 18 regular season games is possible. And that's going to be very fascinating to watch. I think that the 17 regular season game thing, you know, that's been expected for, wow, it seems like 3 to 4 years now at least. So this was something that I think was expected for a long time. And just hearing people already talk about what could be in the future beyond this, before this even technically gets started or gets going off the ground, pretty crazy to envision what the NFL could be doing here pretty soon. So, of course, I've kind of been surprised to see, you know, people not as satisfied with the news of 17 regular season games. I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just you're so used to, you know, seeing the records of 10-6 or 9-7. You know, it's going to be weird to see, you know, a team like, you know, 7-10 instead of 7-9, or something like that. So I think that's one thing that people are just so used to tradition. I don't think they're necessarily complaining that it's a horrible idea overall. I think those that do have real concern about it are kind of worried about injuries. You know, we've seen some devastating injuries, obviously, the last few years more and more, and you add one more game. How is that going to impact the health of players? Especially if you only have one bye week still during the season. That's going to be interesting to see how the NFL handles that. And but overall, I think it's a good thing. I'll always vouch for more football. So for me, I'm really excited to see how this 17th game, if it's really going to have as big of an impact as people are, you know, expecting it to have. Another thing that the NFL kind of mentioned with the topic of these 17 regular season games is that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said they expect to have full stadiums next year in 2021. Of course, we'll see if that happens at the start of the regular season in September or if it's going to have to wait until later in the year. But I think you look at just overall, I know there was some hiccups and bumps on the road along the way, but overall, the NFL handled the COVID season last year in 2020 a lot better than people expected it to. All the naysayers that, you know, usually complain about everything no matter what, it was good to see the NFL be able to carry out the season the way they did. Now you're seeing other sports leagues like the NHL, the NBA, MLB just opened yesterday. They're having fans back in the stands at limited capacity. So, with the way things are going right now with COVID, I would not be surprised to see full stadiums in 2021 like Goodell hinted at. But, just seeing what the exact timeline is going to be of that and how different states and stadiums and officials handle it, still going to be a work in progress. But, it's been good to see fans being back at sporting events, just watching, baseball yesterday. Especially a sport like that where you need that energy, as far as, personally for myself watching it at home, just seeing the fans and seeing their reactions, it's been great to see. So we'll see what the NFL is able to do with hopes of making capacity full again in the NFL stadiums. But another thing we have to talk about real quick, NFL draft, of course, if you guys have been following our work lately at FullPressCoverage.com and Full Press Coverage Chiefs. We've been churning out draft profile after draft profile. We've had our this or that hypothetical articles touch on the draft a little bit lately. So it's been really fun. This has been, one of my personally more satisfying years as far as draft profiles go. I'm on pace to have my highest number, but I still want to increase that year after year as far as how many profiles I've done. So really, really excited with how things have gone there. And right now, I think you look at just the Chiefs themselves, how they've set themselves up right now in the draft. I think they've given themselves an opportunity to be pretty open to what their options are in the first round. I know offensive tackle, defensive end are kind of the top needs, but wide receiver, cornerback, maybe even down the line later in the draft, linebacker. I'm not quite as high on them adding a linebacker right now, just because looking at their tendencies, how much they've favored Anthony Hitchens in the past, and his improvement, honestly, in 2020 was, well noticed, I think. And you look at what they have in last year's rookie, Willie Gay, that overall, I think there's some people that don't realize that linebacker is not, I think overall, personally, as big of a need as other people. I think there's the ability to be, open, I think, with that first round pick. I know left tackle, right? Finding that left tackle, it's still a big question mark right now. I'm really not opposed to starting a left tackle, a rookie at left tackle, just because I think adding Joe Tooney and adding some of the veterans they've put in place so far in free agency, knowing it won't be as much rookies possibly starting overall across the line, I don't have a big problem with that if you start a rookie left tackle. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that spot. I think you could legitimately see, depending on how the board falls, the Chiefs just saying, this is our best player we have, ranked on our board that's available. We're going to go with them regardless of the position. Some of it's going to be for need, but yeah, I think this is going to be, based off what the Chiefs have done so far, a draft that they can kind of go into it, still with the luxury of going mostly best player available. So really, really interested to see what they're going to do. Of course, stay tuned for all of our upcoming draft profiles. We're going to have, obviously, as much more as we can get in before the NFL draft rolls around. We've also had two mock draft pieces so far. One of them was earlier this week from this past Monday, March 29th. So go check those out. We have mock drafts coming out every 2 weeks. So hoping to get four of them done before the draft. Our final one will, of course, be April 26th, the Monday of the draft week. So 3 days before the draft begins will be our mock draft 4.0. So stay tuned for those. And of course, just be on the lookout for more draft profiles. But the news that I do want to talk about, of course, was from last week that kind of shook the football community, and that was the trade up that the San Francisco 49ers made. They traded up in the first round of 2021 from 12 to 3 overall. Now, a lot of moving parts with this, of course. Top of this year's quarterback class, very deep. You have five guys that I think are going to go for sure in the first round, possibly even all in the top half of the first round. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, Justin Fields, Ohio State, Zach Wilson, BYU, Mac Jones, Alabama, and then, of course, you have Trey Lance from North Dakota State. So what's really interesting to me is, like, the timing of the trade, right? Because it came on a day where Zach Wilson of BYU was having his pro day, and a lot of people were saying, you know, write it in Sharpie. Trevor Lawrence is going 1 to the Jaguars. Zach Wilson is going 2 to the Jets. So basically the draft starts at 3. The timing of this, right? How do people or the teams already know, right, what the teams are thinking for the first two picks? I think Trevor Lawrence obviously is a given, but man, if it really is Zach Wilson, I like Wilson fine, but man, I just can't believe there's already so much momentum and expectation for him to be for sure the number two pick. So there's been a lot of dissension and discussion that has come from, you know, the Niners and what they're going to do at number three. I think for me, if I had to predict it right now, I would say they're adding Justin Fields. I think though it's a situation right now. If you expect Lawrence to go one and Wilson to go two, you could legitimately make an argument for any of those other three options of the top five quarterbacks. You can change your mind every hour, and I think it would make sense. But to me, Mac Jones, and that's been a big talking point, and I just don't see Mac Jones being worth trading up, right? If you were going to take Mac Jones, if you're San Francisco, I think you could have honestly sat at 12 or not traded up that much. So to me, it's either Justin Fields or Trey Lance if Lawrence and Wilson are the top two picks. Now, the other thing that's interesting with this, right, the Miami Dolphins had the number three pick. They trade back to 12, but right after that initially, like literally 30 minutes later last week when this trade went down, they go back up six spots from 12 to 6, trading with the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles jump back from 6 to 12. There's kind of reports out there that the Eagles thought, you know, if they couldn't trade up to 3 and be in striking distance to try to get Zach Wilson, then they weren't going to take any other quarterback. Hard to really know what is coming out of Philadelphia. The reporting there has been, you know, so back and forth. And, you know, of course, they still have Jalen Hurts after trading away Carson Wentz. So I don't know. I don't think the Eagles were really going to take a quarterback unless a gift fell into their lap. But I could have been completely wrong there. So the thing is here, I think the Eagles actually did a really good thing here by trading back because, of course, not only do you pick up the Dolphins first round pick for next year in 2022, you have your own first round pick, but you also have a chance at maybe getting three first round picks because in that Carson Wentz trade, if that conditional second round pick turns into a first round pick, the Eagles really have a big shot at you know, accelerating the rebuild that they're entering in at a much more rapid pace. Of course, Carson Wentz has to meet those you know, playing time requirements to turn that into a first round pick. But yeah, I think overall, the Eagles are set up well. I think all in all, the trades that happened made a sense for all three teams. But yeah, it's really interesting to see Philadelphia, just those reports that maybe only after Zach Wilson. But in the end, I think they still win out pretty good, gaining a handful of draft picks over the course of the next couple of years. So with the Miami Dolphins now, you know, them still in the top 10, they could still legitimately get the guy they would have picked at 3 if they stayed in that spot. And at the same time, they add more draft capital. So Miami Dolphins have been doing incredible business the last couple of years, wheeling and dealing with picks and trades that so far have paid off big in their favor. A team that ascended last year, even though they missed the playoffs just barely, at 10-6 under Brian Flores, general manager Chris Greer, and of course, what they got right now with their youth that they have brought in so far on their roster, they're set up well. So I think the trade made sense for all three teams in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, certainly one that rocked the 2021 NFL draft with still about a month to go. So it's going to be interesting to see how those boards fall. And like any other year, those quarterback-hungry teams, good players are going to fall as a result. So that may not impact the Chiefs quite as much as it could on other teams with them sitting right now at 31 overall, but you never know. Chiefs may end up trading up too, so I'm not putting that past them either. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, just with all the draft coverage, not just myself with Full Press Coverage Chiefs, but anywhere on fullpresscoverage.com. I know the Raiders are doing good work. The Bucks, the Patriots, everybody is doing a really good job as the NFL draft gets closer. So stay tuned for all that at fullpresscoverage.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Follow the Full Press Coverage Chiefs Twitter account at FPC_Chiefs. Every Tuesday and Thursday when we drop our this or that articles, there will be a poll that you guys can vote for your choice in. So stay tuned for that as well on Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Twitter account there. And of course, like we said, more draft profiles coming this weekend. I will have an offensive lineman coming out next. One of them that we actually had in the latest this or that article from Thursday this week. So one of those two will be the next draft profile. So stay tuned for that this weekend and much more draft profiles in the coming week. And with that, you guys can also follow daily video content with Full Press Coverage. Dave and Ross Save Sports goes live, I believe, on YouTube at the Full Press Coverage YouTube page. If you follow Full Press Coverage on Facebook, you can also find it there. But yeah, Dave and Ross Save Sports, it's a really fun show, 5 Eastern, 4 Central time, every weekday. Just a great job that they do over there. I love watching it and listening in. And then, of course, FPC Radio Live with Ian Glendon and Mike DeBate weekday mornings. You guys can also find that on the YouTube channel of Full Press Coverage or the Facebook page. So stay tuned for all that. The main Full Press Coverage Twitter accounts that you guys should also follow if you're not already is at FP Coverage and at Full Press NFL. So go follow those accounts if you're not already. Again, stay tuned. More draft content, more draft profiles on the way for us at Full Press Coverage Chiefs. We hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you guys next time.